And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
You'll be the best and you gotta pay a little price. If you want it bad enough, you gotta do a little extra things to get it.
Welcome to the 11 Personnel Podcast, your favorite Rams podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rodriguez, and with me, as always, my fabulous co-host, Rich Hammond. Rich, how we doing?
Jordan, as we sit here, I'm going to go through the library and see if I can find a book called Attitude is Everything.
Aww.
Because that's Brandon Powell's book, right?
Yeah, I loved it. It was great. I want him to start a book club.
Yeah.
I would join that.
Listen, I want to do what this guy's doing, because he's figured something out here, Jordan. Big Rams win over the Vikings yesterday, as we record here on Monday morning, to get to 11 wins, to get to a playoff spot, to get to first place in the NFC West. Still a little ways to go, of course. But I thought that was really big, Jordan. That punt return at a time when things were starting to go a little bit sideways. And the Rams get a good special teams play. Oh, my goodness.
We're starting the podcast with a positive special teams play for the first time in 11 personnel history. I think that this is a momentous occasion. I hope all of you guys are enjoying your holiday break. I hope you still are on a holiday break. We took a very brief podcasting holiday break because of, not sure if you guys heard, but there was a massive series of situations there with the Rams. So all their scheduling was out of whack. And then the holiday comes up. So we just decided, once we get a normal week back under our feet, here we go. And we're back. So thank you guys for bearing with us. We hope you all had, if you celebrate, we hope you had a very Merry Christmas. If you celebrate any other holidays, we hope you really had a great one of those or series of those. And we're rolling into the new year, and the Rams are rolling into the postseason, apparently, and Brandon Powell's play, 61-yard punt return for a touchdown, the first Rams punt return for a touchdown since Tavon Austin, Rich.
Jeez, I was trying to remember.
Six years ago. And their ninth different punt or kick returner of the season, and he, I hope for their sake, sticks. He seems like he will, just a really pleasant young man. Really, really awesome presser. If you guys haven't gone and watched his post-game presser, it was just fantastic. And it just was exactly what the Rams needed at a time they needed it most. And I think at a time where he seemed so close to breaking one out in that way, his debut with the Rams was a 65-yard return against Jacksonville, and he seemed so close. And moreover, these guys seem to really like blocking for him and seem to think that he really can make something happen every time he gets the ball in his hands, and that makes a difference too. And you could see how savvy he is in this phase. He pointed out his blockers for some of his downfield guys as he was returning the punt for a touchdown, flips into the end zone, absolutely crushes the press conference afterward, gets a game ball. Brandon Powell, I hope he sticks around for the Rams for a long time. What a find.
Yeah, very cool. And a huge moment in that game, too. I mean, that was a period where it was 13-10. Rams were still winning, but it was part of the Matthew Stafford turnover parade, where he'd gone two consecutive possessions with interceptions, and the Rams then went with three and out. So they were not moving the ball at all, and really gave them that little separation that they needed that ended up being very, very important at the end of the game, too. So, look, Jordan, you mentioned the weird week there, and I mean, weird doesn't even begin to describe everything that's going on in the world and in the NFL, but, you know, to take a step back, I mean, for the Rams to get two wins there, and going back to the previous game, also the big Tuesday night football game that was not scheduled initially, to get those two wins with everything that was going on, the guys going on the COVID list, injuries, weird schedule, you know, having to practice and travel around the holidays when you have families, even something like that, to get those two wins. I don't think you can overstate how important that was and really how good it was for the Rams to get those two wins. There's a lot of excuses in there, a lot of things that they could point at and say, oh, well, there was this, there was that. But no, they went out and they took care of business and they got two wins. So, like you said, actually on top, first place in the NFC West. We'll see what happens in these last 2 weeks with games at Baltimore and then against the dreaded San Francisco 49ers to close the season. But like you said, Jordan, headed to the playoffs, and story that you've been on since the beginning, you broke this story, which was only a few weeks ago. It feels like it was about 2.5 years ago, but I know it was only a few weeks ago that Cam Akers, Rams running back, would be able to come back at some point, even though he tore his Achilles this year. Jordan, what's the update on that? And when do you think it might be realistic to see Cam Akers out there?
Yeah, so, you know, the Rams can't get through a week without making some news in some way. This time, very much for the positive. Last week, late in the week, Cam Akers was able to have his first practice with the team since tearing his Achilles in July. In October, I spoke with Sean McVay exclusively for The Athletic on this particular situation because Sean McVay was adamant, no, this guy is going to return for us if we make the playoffs. Cam Akers will be playing for us in the playoffs. And so his timeline, to me, that's where it stays. Now, he was activated a couple weeks prior, and he was activated Saturday, technically, and that means it's a couple weeks prior to the playoffs. My understanding is that he was activated to the 53-man roster because in doing so, he qualifies for an extra credit for his pension, full tenure for a season, so that gives him an extra pension credit. So kind of a classy move, in my opinion, by the Rams there, you know, making sure that after football, he's getting what he needs to get, considering especially, you know, it's not his fault he got hurt, and it's obviously an unfortunate situation, but activating him 3 games early to me just was just a sort of a hat tip. They really appreciate him, and every time you hear people talk about this guy, Rich and Sean, like, it's almost like he's talking about, like, his kid. Like, he really everybody just loves this guy, and Cam is a wonderful person and an insane athlete. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he does come back from this. I think the first priority is obviously safety, and that's what these next couple of weeks of practice are going to be about, is making sure he can actually take carries and take contact and do all of those things. And even then, into the playoffs, you know, I'm not sitting here thinking, oh, Cam Akers is going to, you know, explode for 300 yards in 3 playoff games. You know, like, I'm not saying that at all. I think, though, that having him as a threat, having him as an option, does give teams something to plan for, and it gives the Rams some security. You know, we're going to talk a lot today about running the ball, and and I think I would just continue to urge people to remember they have one healthy running back. I mean, Jake Funk is back, but he's largely contributing on special teams. And yes, they will continue to utilize him as a depth running back. And probably next season is when you'll see him start to really work into a depth role. But, you know, he's also coming back from kind of a major hamstring injury, which again was that kind of got lost too. Another remarkable recovery that was characterized as season ending when it first happened. So they desperately needed him back on special teams. He was healthy enough to come back to special teams and take care of business. He's already made an impact there. He took out the gunner on the return, which you guys go back and watch is really fun. All the layers of that for Brandon Powell's return was really fun to watch. Huge impact already. But again, you don't necessarily expect him to also be hugely impactful in the run game right now. Poor Darrell Henderson hurt his knee yesterday. My understanding is that the hope is that it's a minor knee sprain. They're not sure yet. He had to obviously get on a plane and get back to Los Angeles before they could test him out any further. And so we're kind of waiting on updates from Sean McVay in that regard on that and other injuries. I know you guys are all curious about Ernest Jones with the ankle and Brian Allen with the knee. Still waiting on updates from McVay later this afternoon. It's Monday morning when we're recording. But going back to the other, my word of caution is the Rams do only have one healthy running back. His name is Sony Michel. He is outstanding. He owns the month of December. Well, we will get into all of that. But as we preface all of this conversation and think about what Cam Akers does mean, what a return does mean in the postseason, this is huge. This is major. And regardless of whether he can only do 7 to 10 touches a game, it still does give so many things for a defense to account for. And it also helps, I think, Sony keep fresh legs. And that's not something he has through the month of December. He certainly does not have the ability to keep fresh legs because he is not only the workhorse, the lead back, but he is also, taking the entire carry share at this point because Daryl Henderson has just been struggling. First was on the COVID reserve list and then had the knee injury after one carry, which is a great carry yesterday, but again, cannot build something cohesive if you can't keep the guy on the field. So, Rich, before we get into all of this, I do want to say, I think it'd be fair. I think in fairness here, because through the month of November, those dreary, dreary days of November, the Rams did not lose a game in December. They will exit gracefully the month of December, not having lost a game, and also having completely overhauled parts of their offense, which we have talked about on this podcast a few times, but also have retooled and sort of sunk into an identity on defense. Special teams is coming along at the right time. And a lot of it is kind of head spinning to think about these last 3 weeks, because really it's been since the second week of December. So all of this chaos first started, they started having players go on the COVID reserve list in the days leading up to their win at Arizona. And then it just spiraled and just ballooned into something insane. And then, they're still dealing with that and then the rescheduling and the short week and all of that. So the guys that they are winning with, because we saw in November that teams were very much picking on the complementary players in this team build, and we spent some time discussing this team build, I do think that it's fair to sort of start out the meat of this podcast talking about the guys that they won with, that they've been winning with, despite these adverse circumstances and all of this reshuffling, sometimes happening mid-drive, as was the case yesterday. And now I think it's fair that we talk about what the sort of bright spots that this team build has produced, but as in a way where they've also better maximized their efficient use of these players, in my opinion. Like, the two can't exist by themselves. Like we always talk about, this is a ecosystem. This is a hand-in-hand thing. This team build, if the coaches aren't putting the players, maximizing the players' abilities and putting them in these positions to be successful, and, really getting into the granular stuff of the coaching up and the personnel building, on a player by player level, that doesn't work. You can have all the players who could be something that you want. If you don't know, if you're not putting them in a position to be successful and really using your roster, then you don't know. So I think that was one of the most underratedly outstanding things they did through the month of December. And I do think it's fair that we talk about it.
No question about it. Yeah, I mean, like I said, there are so many potential excuses here. So many things that if the Rams had lost these last two games, you could have pointed at and said, well, they had to deal with this. They had to deal with this position group being thin. They had to deal with this injury. And they played through all that, and they did very well. I'm sure I will forget a couple names, Jordan, so please chime in too. The first thing that comes to mind to me is the offensive line and mm-hmm. just all the shuffling. And when you talk about having to do things within a game or within a drive, I mean, that's exactly what happened yesterday with Brian Allen going down and Coleman Shelton, who's, still trying to get comfortable at guard. And then they say, all right, now go play center, which he obviously knows how to do.
And he's left-handed. Yeah. I can't get over that.
So Matthew Stafford has to deal with that during a game. You know, yeah, it's I know that is the funniest thing.
I can't get over it. Yeah. Like, I don't. That might be one of my favorite details of the year. Like, you have to switch from a right-handed snapper to a left-handed snapper, right, like mid-drive. Right. I mean, that's
yeah, from one play to the next. Yeah, but you know, does a great job. And again, credit Matthew Stafford for dealing with that during a game too. And then AJ Jackson comes in at tackle, and it got to a point where I even forgot he was in the game. You know, because things were going fine there. He was holding up very well. So that's one thing that comes to top of mind, because that could have really fallen apart on them over the last couple weeks with all of these. You know, being down to your third string right tackle, not having Andrew Whitworth in this game, having injuries at center, having to move guys all around. That's a nightmare. And they were able to get through that really well. And, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, even you wrote about it in your column, Jordan, the Pile, which is online, the Athletic app and website. So please read that now. But a guy who's been getting some grief, Troy Reader, comes in and plays a good game. Traven Howard comes in when they have the injury, and Turnus Jones, and he makes some plays, which I've always been a Traven Howard fan. I'm not sure exactly what was going on there with him, and there were some injuries, but I always liked his potential, but to see him step in there and play well, I think was very important to the Rams. So obviously we've talked a lot about Greg Gaines coming in, and and you know, just the value that he has brought to that defensive front. So I mean, it goes down the line, and then we spent time talking about Brandon Powell, another one who is, you know, not somebody who was a draft pick, not somebody who was really even on the depth chart, and then comes in and as the, you know, the 12 days of Rams returners, we finally got to number nine, Brandon Powell, and he makes it big. So yeah, who else did I forget there, Jordan? Because
it peels back even further. It starts, honestly, it starts with Jacksonville when they overhauled their run blocking plan. And Sony Michel was an addition who was sort of addition by desperation at a certain point, where the Rams traded picks, late round picks for him. Man, that feels like years ago at this point, but I remember covering that, and the Rams like tried to do something creative with the comp picks in the league, like shut it down. Right. I was like, oh my God, guys, the league's just not ready, man. That's kind of the sentiment that I got from that. But yeah, no, Sony, I mean, picking the right running back and then rebuilding to maximize what he does well, loading up. They obviously haven't been able to go back to it as frequently as they did in that Jacksonville game, in light of all of their COVID list additions, missing extra tackles here and there and extra tight ends here and there. But loading up in heavier sets, 12 personnel and jumbo sets, using guys who are not Tyler Higbee, using Joe Noteboom, using guys who are just kind of sitting on your roster, twiddling their thumbs, talented players or players with potential, expecting more from tight ends Kendall Blanton and Bryson Hopkins. And I think that that was something underrated that was necessary through that first part of December in order to get them out of this lull and out of those bleak days. Building around your back who can do the things you need to do through the month of December and into the playoffs. Not just trying to continue to fit square pegs into round holes. You know, I asked Sean McVay about this when training camp started and they lost Cam Akers. You guys, this is the run blocking plan that they wanted to do, that they expected to do. Sean McVay was adamant about wanting to do more of the downhill stuff, more of the gap power stuff, but you mix it in too, because Cam Akers can do all of it. He could go downhill, but he can also, he's very explosive. He can do some of that outside stuff. So you were building a run blocking plan that sort of matched that. And then, you know, then he gets hurt and then you change. And you know, he could say as much as he wanted about not having to deviate that from that plan. I didn't believe it at the time, and you saw it. And so I think choosing the back and doing one thing really, really well. They're not asking. They've done a couple outside runs with Sony and they've been great. And there's been some great seals and edges and things like that found by Cooper Kupp in the blocking game, especially last night. And so it's not like they've completely gone away from that, but they've picked the thing that Sony does really, really well, which is run one cut downhill back, who falls forward instead of backwards when he's hit, who just is real nasty in the second level, who keeps churning, who just has that steadiness. And they said, all right, we're going to flood that lane. We're going to do that. We're not going to try to do too much. We're going to do that. And that also involved more of their personnel who, like I said, are, again, just sitting there on the roster who could be of use or could be of help, but you just didn't know earlier in the season because they weren't being used. And so you have that. Then you have guys on the other side of the ball. You have, well, on special teams, you have Ben Skoranek on the offense who I think has shown some positive impact on offense. He also is good for like one penalty a game. So there's that also. You know, it's a learning curve for him. I do think that they really, really like him. And I think you're expected to make mistakes. You just maybe don't want to make some of the types of mistakes that he has made. So then you think on the other side of the ball, you think about Dante DeAon, who's made some two weeks, you know, made some outstanding plays. Darius Williams has, I think his play has shifted for the positive from where it was earlier in the season. And these guys, these are guys you really, really need. Justin Hollins coming back and just being very versatile and stout in the run game. You know, that's part of the team build as well. These guys who, and Ernest Jones, I mean, what a find. I mean, you knew, like, he was Les Snead's favorite pick and you knew why immediately talking to him and watching his tape and all of this. They really comped him to Jordan Fuller. They used a lot of the things they learned from scouting Jordan Fuller in terms of some of that data matching to film and all of that. They learned a lot of things from that process that they then applied to scouting Ernest Jones in terms of body position and vision, things like that. Outstanding player for them. And, you know, you hope that he can return for them at some point. But he's a part of their team build, too. He's a third-round pick. Like, you know, don't let it be forgotten that most of these guys are third, fourth, fifth, sixth round picks, undrafted free agents, which is why we keep saying the words team build, because these are all quote unquote complementary players who have stepped up over the last couple of weeks and really made such a difference, had such an impact. And yes, the stars have played for the most part, Matthew Stafford's last game aside, the stars have played like stars. And that's important. That's huge. But also, that what we're talking about here with these other guys that was so lacking in November was that extra layer of substance, that substance. And it's physically represented. It's always really nice as a writer when the metaphor you talk about is actually physically manifested and represented in something that they're doing. It's represented in the run game. There's substance there. There's steadiness there. And it's now, to me, being represented in improved special teams play. There is substance from the bottom of the roster is playing better than it was. And it's also, for me, has been through the month of December and in parts in November as well, even, definitely being demonstrated in what this defense is doing now and the identity that it's sort of found within all the chaos. And I think, and I'm sort of tongue-in-cheek, the only thing I worry about now is, okay, so do you just have to have everything be completely chaotic in order for you to sort of, because we talk about how these guys sometimes, like this front office, they'll just like introduce catalysts into their own system so that they grow, right? And I'm kind of like, okay, so are we becoming a little sociopathic now? Like, do we think, are we purposefully now going to try to introduce catalysts into our system because that's where we thrive, or
right?
What?
It's an interesting point.
I'm a bit tongue in cheek there, but
no, because you look back. I mean, what was the big disappointment of the last, you know, few weeks here? It was the Green Bay game coming out of the bye week, and you thought, oh, everything's nice and stable. They get a bye week to calm down and look at everything, and then they just came out and you know, were largely crap. And now you put them in this, like you said, chaotic situation where everything is just going crazy and, you know, all these moving parts, and they then look calm. You know, they then look like, okay, we got this. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe there is something to that. You have to introduce, you know, throw a snake in the locker room or something.
It's
and,
like a very specific personality type.
Yeah, thrive
it's like
in
when
chaos.
It's, yeah, it's like when Matthew Stafford – is like almost like some of his angry throws that he makes come after he gets hit.
Right.
Some of his best throws that he's made all season come after he has gotten hit or something has angered him in some way. And you're kind of like, uh-oh, man. Like, now don't maybe welcome the hits.
Right, right, exactly. <You know? laughs> But Jordan, I don't want your point to get lost there in our fun, because I think it's a really, really important point. And maybe the point going forward for the rest of the season with the Rams. And because the thing is, you know what you're going to get by and large from your top players, right? With the Rams, you know what you're going to get from Aaron Donald. And oh, by the way, that guy's just ridiculous. I mean, I know we talk about it every week, but that was really, I'm going to get myself on my own tangent here, but just real quickly, I thought that was one of Aaron Donald's best all around games that I had seen in a long time, because he didn't pile up the sacks. I think he only had one, but he was so disruptive in that game. And
I thought he was going to take a snap from the center. That's how deep in the backfield he
was. It was ridiculous.
Every time.
It was utterly ridiculous what he was doing out there. But that goes to my point, which is that week to week, you pretty much know what you're going to get from Aaron Donald. You know what you're going to get from Jalen Ramsey. You know what you're going to get from Cooper Kupp. Matthew Stafford, maybe a little bit less so, but we'll get to that. But
you know that there's possibility.
You know what the skill level is. You know what the ceiling is. But so you know what you're going to get from those guys. It's these other guys that we're talking about. They are the ones who are going to make the difference, because when they play well, you see what happens. When they don't play well, you see what happens. And what you've been seeing over the last couple of weeks is a lot of these guys have stepped up. And, you know, credit the coaching staff, too, as much as at least I am critical sometimes. It's not easy. It's not easy to find out how all these puzzle pieces have to fit together, and you know, not only individually but collectively, to make that work. So I think they've done a better job of that over these last couple weeks here of you know, finding out where is Sony Michel's best fit, where, how does this offensive line fit together, what should we do at linebacker, all of these things. So I think they've done a good job there, and it is all fit together. But yeah, it's got to continue, because if you see a dip, if you see a dip from some of these guys, then hey, you got to play Baltimore this week. You got to play San Francisco the week after. Then you're in the playoffs. I mean, it's not going to get easier. It's only going to get harder from here. So they have reached a point where they, I think, feel pretty good, and they should feel pretty good based on the results of the last couple of weeks. But it's still got to maintain. Jordan, you mentioned the defense. Look, at this point, I saw a little look ahead. I had fun on Twitter. Poor Jordan woke up this morning to a bunch of New Year's resolutions that I had asked Rams fans to send in. But, you know, I got a couple in there that said, you know, fire Raheem Morris. And I'm like, I understand people have dug in on this on some level, and you have to be proven correct. I understand how social media works. You have stuck to your opinion, and you have to be proven correct. But if your takeaway from this game and your takeaway from the last
from
the last month is that the Rams have to fire Raheem Morris, I just don't know what to tell you. I don't want to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with you. But if your takeaway from a game in which the Rams, in which Matthew Stafford threw three interceptions, two of which were on consecutive drives to start the second half, and they only give up 23 points, three of which I think were at the very end there on that giveaway field goal. If your takeaway from that is that you need to make big changes on defense, I just don't know what to tell you. You really should be encouraged at this point that you're seeing some positive momentum from that defense across all of the positions. You're seeing great gains develop. You're seeing better play at linebacker. You're seeing a guy like Traven Howard be able to step in. You're seeing Leonard Floyd be a beast out there, which we hadn't even mentioned his name yet on the podcast, but another guy who played a fantastic game. You're seeing good play from the secondary. I don't know what to tell you. Like, if you're still sitting there complaining about the defense right now, I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm not telling you you're dumb, because everybody is entitled to their opinion. I just don't know what to tell you anymore.
Well, that's courteous of you, Rich.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
This defense is in, once again, DVOA stuff is not out yet. I would assume they're in within, if not close to, top 10. They certainly were last week. They were sixth in EPA per play, which is not only outstanding because it measures, you know, situational metrics and things like that as its composite, but it also is a jump from where they started in some of the, you know, kind of iffy months, you know, weeks of September, October, where at one point their lowest was like 23 or something like that. You knew there was going to be a dip and then they would find themselves. This is a group that's, again, it's remarkably secure in itself and it's well coached. And I think what we're not talking about so much, which we probably should be talking about more, is some of the adjustments that you've seen. They're rushing really well with four. I don't want to hear about Von Miller's sack numbers. I swear to God, he gets asked about his sacks in every press conference. I do not want to hear about it anymore because, like, yeah, you want to see that. He wants to see that. Everybody who appreciates the game of football wants to see Von Miller, any outside linebacker, rack up the numbers in that regard. What he's doing, though, is so effective to the whole, which is why the Rams brought him into the fold. They believe the sacks will come. Again, they're hoping this is a longer-term relationship with Von Miller than just 1 year, and they're hoping that at that point, as you retool some things, the sacks will come. Maybe in the postseason, the sacks will come. Got his first one the other day. The thing that's really important is the Rams can rush with four and blockers are acquired. Blockers are acquired by him, first of all, at a very high rate. He is playing his ass off in the run, which that's super underrated quality of his game as well. The Rams are outstanding, excelling in run stop win rate right now. Heading into the area, was it Arizona? Maybe it was Seattle. Heading into the Seattle game, they were first in pass rush win rate and run stop win rate. And this is coming off of the Cardinals, who have Kyler Murray and James Conner. And so, you know, this is a group that's playing its buns off, essentially. Von Miller is doing it he's a missing piece in the way that he unlocks a lot of what these other guys are able to do. He's acquiring people similarly, not to the same level, but similarly to how Aaron Donald does attract more than one blocker. Von Miller is also, it's necessary to put that type of plan against Von Miller. And that brings you so much of a mathematical advantage, not just for your defensive front in freeing up other guys, but also on the back end. This has allowed his presence, his ad here, has allowed them to do so many more things on the back end with their secondary that if you watch closely, you can see unfold. And it's not just about they week over week over week have, I think, since Green Bay really, have really come up with outstanding plans for Jalen Ramsey's placement. He also is, it sounds like, you know, he was moving in and out of calls last week, when Dante Dion made his really good play, the pass breakup, the deep pass breakup. Jalen Ramsey was the one who put them in that call. You know, it's such a partnership in what they're able to do now in the secondary, and they're doing different things. Taylor Rapp is playing in the box more on known passing downs. Taylor Rapp is playing in the box more as a quote-unquote extra linebacker, sort of joker hybrid safety player alongside an extra linebacker. So the extra linebacker can sort of, which usually was Ernest Jones, can sort of rove the middle of the field and contain in spaces. You know, if the quarterback gets out to the perimeter of the flat, you saw this with Ernest Jones in contain. Taylor Rapp is kind of causing a mess and chaos at the line of scrimmage, or able to do that while Ernest Jones is able to do what he does really well, which is go sideline to sideline at a far greater speed than I think anybody thought when they saw his 40 time, which is, again, why we don't like 40 times. And I think it's – and they're doing so many things with their rotation in the deeper parts of the field. And it's just – it's a lot of that is because they only have to rush four. And to me, that's not just a – you know, a player ad in Vaughn, but also it's getting him into the system. It's setting up guys to be successful. Now I've gone on a rant here, but this is not the defense is not the issue. And, you know, this morning and through the next couple of weeks, Raheem Morris will be mentioned in chatter for head coaching positions. He will. The dude is a really, really good coach. And you knew that there was going to be a bit of a drop, and it was a little bit steeper drop, I think, at times. And I even wrote about it at times in terms of the explosives that were allowed, certain things like that. There are still weak points in this defense. It's just that I think that they are now adjusting better. I think that they are containing better. Their explosive play allowance has gone way down over the last couple of weeks, even though they've played teams that, again, are capable of being very explosive. And I think that this it's the defense held them steady yesterday. In a time when, I mean, 10 points off of three sudden change situations, three turnovers, two that were deep within their own territory, backed them up deep against the end zone and the goal line, and 3 points off of those situations, 10 points off of those situations, those three situations total. And this is not the issue. I don't know. Twitter sucks.
Yeah, I don't know.
Twitter sucks.
I don't know what the expectation is. I mean, if we're still going off the expectation that this is the 2020 Rams defense, you know, number one in the NFL, then yeah, I guess we're always going to be bound to be disappointed.
Yeah, like, you know what? And here's the thing. And I do want to add this. I'm not dumping on anybody. Like, right. Fine, everybody's got their own set of thumbs and keypad or whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, feel your feelings, right? But I just feel like it's that is not the hill right now.
No, it really isn't.
Especially because there are still going to be things to criticize about this scheme. Sometimes they do creep back a little bit too far. Yes, I also agree with that. And it gets a little too Tampa 2-y. And it rhymes with Ratatouille. And it gets a little bit too much looking like that. But really, I mean, they have adjusted at this point in the season into doing more of the assertive things that work and less of the extraneous things that don't work. They're not blitzing Jalen Ramsey really anymore. Right. They're not doing just dumb shit like that, that just doesn't work. And it's just extra because they weren't getting enough pressure, you know, this because people were just figuring, people were blocking the heck out of some of their guys. And they're not, you know, they're stopping the run really effectively, which limits ball control. Limits ball control teams from trying to pick away at them. They're also not, you know, they did turn it over yesterday, but they had a lead when they started turning the ball over. So they could still sort of at least, you know, they still were facing a team that wasn't going to sit there and try to put it on the ground and play keep away from them because they had a lead. So the other team had to pass. So it just, it's all a bunch of little things that are kind of coming together for this group. And I think that there were and are still, there were certainly spaces to criticize, but you also obviously want to criticize with the understanding that this wasn't going to be an identical system. Right. It wasn't going to be, there's a learning curve and a regression curve that you have to overcome in that regard. And then at one point in November, your offense was not doing enough to lift up that sort of regression curve. And honestly, I think that put the defense in a position with its back against the wall where it had to grow and it had to sort of reconfigure its identity. And it also had to adjust and change and develop. And that's what I think you're seeing now. And honestly, I mean, that's football. Yeah. So yeah, they were in the bowels of certain phases of the defense were sort of in the bowels of the NFL earlier in the season. And that was fine to criticize with the understanding that it probably wasn't going to stay that way. You'd be concerned. You'd be really concerned if it did stay that way. It hasn't. So I think that does show that it's impressive to me, especially kind of doing that during the season and doing that, continuing to adjust and adapt. To me, that's become sort of a staple of this team. In most phases. Now, some of them I know we're going to get to, still haven't quite gotten there, but I think that's been a staple of this team. And I don't know why that set me off just now. I'm not like, you know, I've done my fair share of criticizing this defense, right. But I think that they should get their flowers as well for what they've accomplished. And I also don't think that by any means you come out of that game yesterday saying that's the problem.
Yeah, that's what got me. Yeah, I just thought, I don't understand. It's fair to be, and by the way, it's fair to still be skeptical because the job isn't done. And even these last 2 weeks, I mean, I'm not sure what's going on in Baltimore. I haven't looked that far ahead what their quarterback situations look like, but that's going to be a tough game. San Francisco has obviously given the Rams a lot of trouble over the years, and then you get to the playoffs.
Understatement.
Yes, and then you get to the playoffs, and there's a very good chance that if you want to achieve your ultimate goal, which is getting to the Super Bowl, that you're going to have to go through Green Bay, which is a team that gave the Rams defense a lot of trouble, and you might have to see Arizona again. You might have to see Dallas. You might have to see Tampa Bay. Very good chance you're going to see at least two of those teams in the playoffs. So it's not fixed. It's not like you sit here and go, okay, you know, wash your hands, clean your hands. The defense has now been fixed and taken care of. That's not really the point. The point is like, what is your expectation for this? And I think we knew all along that the defense was going to take a bit of a step back because of personnel, because of coaching changes, and just because of natural regression. The question was going to be how big of a step back was it going to be?
And could they take a step forward after taking that step back?
Yeah, and they have. And it's been a little bit of a dance, right? It's been a little bit of a, you know, a tango or whatever you want to be. It's not been linear. It's not been always backward and always forward. It's been a little sideways sometimes and around in a circle or whatever. But I think it's reached a point where you go, okay, this is comfortable. This is probably where they need to be across the board. They need to stay healthy. Getting Ernest Jones, hopefully, you know, being able to get him back will be important. Getting good play from those corners will be important in the playoffs. But it's not something that you look at and go, oh my goodness, this is what's going to. You look at yesterday's game, and not to be, you know, too hot takey about it, but I'd be much more concerned about Matthew Stafford than I am about anything that was going on defense, because he certainly had his hot moments, but he also had his very, very cold cold moments. And you can't have that type of inconsistency from your quarterback when you get to the playoffs. I mean, three turnover. They lost that turnover battle 3-1. And that, as Sean McVay will tell you, or any coach will tell you, those aren't games you usually win if you lose the turnover battle like that. So you have to credit the Rams defense for, like you said, only giving up 10 points on those three turnovers. I think the one drive, Minnesota started the Rams 11 and a quick change and only got a field goal out of it. And that's huge. Yeah. That's absolutely huge to be able to do that. So I get it. Not saying things are perfect. Not saying you don't have to worry about anything. But it wouldn't be the focal point for me. It wouldn't be the thing that I'm looking at now and saying, oh, that is what is going to hold the Rams back, or that's what's going to bounce them from the playoffs. I'm not sure I'd look at that side of the ball right now, Jordan.
Yeah, but people, you know, This is the society. This is online decorum where people do want to dig their heels in. So, you know, just kind of look at it and you're like, oh, and then you kind of just keep it pushing. Yeah. But I think part of it is something you noted. I think, and someone asked me this yesterday too, like someone asked me if I was concerned about Matthew Stafford. And actually, yesterday was not a good game. Let's be honest about that. He missed several throws other than the ones that, you know, he turned the ball over, and then one was the batted pass at the goal line that was a pick, and two just straight up interceptions. And, you know, I think to me, yeah, that's not great. Like, his stat line looks pretty catastrophic, honestly, from yesterday. At the same time, though, I think there's such a huge difference than how things could feel. And I say that kind of being within it, right? Like, first of all, I would be way more concerned about this right now if the Rams had not established a really solid run plan with Sony Michel and with an offensive line that was like, had shuffled around four different guys, six different times, you know, like I'd probably feel a lot more worried if they had not established that phase of their offense. That gives them a steadiness, and I think you feel that even when things get weird or chaotic, like when chaotic Matthew Stafford emerges, you know, I think that that's still something that they can take a step back. They should take a step back, and especially when they're playing with a lead, like, for example, maybe you don't throw six times in the red zone on consecutive drives, and then that leads to two field goals instead of touchdowns. When you are running for 6 yards a carry at that point, maybe reevaluate some of that. On the other hand too, like I think with Matthew, I mean, he doesn't really get rattled either. He doesn't kind of, you always feel like there's a possibility there. And I think that's such a huge difference in terms of where maybe they could be versus where they are, which is even when things are going haywire, you feel like, okay, this next drive, they could turn it around, or this next drive could be the one that fixes it. And
yeah, that was something I don't want to lose your point there, because I think that's really important, is he doesn't collapse. Is the thing about Matthew Stafford.
No, he doesn't implode.
Exactly.
He may be chaotic. He may be chaotic as shit sometimes,
right.
But he doesn't.
Right.
He doesn't implode. Right. It's not sort of. You don't see this like chasm open up on the field and everybody just fall into
right?
Like it really is one of those things where you continue that sense of possibility throughout. That's sort of a steady thread throughout, even his most chaotic games. And I think that's something that you felt as soon as they started really building this thing in the spring. It's something that has been the most consistent since throughout this entire, through, you know, at this point, you know, what is it? 300 days since, 275 days since he's been in the building. Something like that. My math is always bad, as you guys know, but something like that.
Right.
And just being there, showing up, and like, luckily, you know, now not really sure what this week's going to look like for in terms of access, but luckily for me being able to be there, that was the, for almost every single one of those days, like that, that's the feeling that you felt, was a sense of possibility. And I think when you have that, but you also have like what we've been talking about this whole time, some substance underneath it as well from other phases, particularly, you know, small things like your run game and large things like actual other phases of your team in defense and special teams, I think that provides a little bit of support that I don't think there's this is something to panic about. Like, yeah, you can criticize it. Definitely can criticize it. But I think that that's why I don't feel any panic from this group, is because they know, they feel that sense of possibility and that sense of hyperactive correction that is happening. And that's also a steadiness within itself, again, within chaos. I might trademark chaotic Matthew Stafford.
Yes, good Twitter
but,
account.
Yeah, I think, someone, by the way, just tangent, someone made a, I laughed my ass off yesterday when I saw this. So a couple weeks ago, we were giving Sean crap because we all, every once in a while, we joke, the reporters joke with Sean McVay about how he definitely has a burner account on Twitter. But we just never, we haven't figured out what it is. Like, but we're certain, like, he definitely has a burner account on Twitter. I joked, I made a name for it. It was something like Miami 0012. Somebody made that account and they put a photoshopped picture of Sean in his Miami of Ohio uniform with a fake mustache and a hat on, like incognito. And I saw it yesterday and I died. Oh my God, I laughed so hard. So whoever did that, that's hilarious.
Amazing.
And thank you for listening to the press conferences and probably the podcast. Right. And that was freaking hilarious.
Maybe that's Kevin O'Connell's burner. Maybe he created it.
Maybe it's like, yeah, it's like Zach Robinson or something, Kevin O'Connell. But getting back on track, I do think that that's, you know, some of the things too, you can see where the plan, what the plan's supposed to be and then how it fails. Like the third down missed throw, third and two, bad throw, really, really bad throw, right? Missed Odell downfield. Like you could also argue that the call sucked on third and two to throw it 18 yards downfield, but also everything was there. Like Odell was open. He was open by, you know, several feet, if not yards. Right. And the throw was there to be made. It was there to be made. So it's kind of like some of those things where you can still see there are pieces of it that are still, even after this time, are still coming together, are still in the works. But that's the thing. There's that thread of possibility. And possibility in itself, you might not think that it's something that you can build a foundation off of, or that is a foundation in itself. But I believe that it is. And I believe that it's really a lot of what has energized this group and continues to have them be really excited about what they're putting together, even after games like yesterday, where you turn the ball over three times. And again, being in the lead early on helps. Remember when we talked about in November, I was like, man, you know what? I think they would have won one or two of those games if they didn't turn it over without having a lead. And they showed that they are capable of, in fact, doing that. So, you know, a lot of different moving parts and different things, and certainly fair to criticize, but I just don't think that, I think that I'm speaking to why they don't think that the wheels are even close to wobbling or falling off in that regard. Now, you obviously want to be consistent through the playoffs. That's like number one thing is you want to do. And play consistently, if not better than consistent, have, you know, better than consistent play. But I also think that, you know, I don't panic about stuff like that if I'm a Rams fan, even though it's probably frustrating to watch because of some of the sort of story behind it and some of the depth behind what it actually is that they're doing.
Yeah. To your point there, Jordan, I mean, the three turnovers yesterday, all of them came, each of them came with the Rams holding a 10-point lead. And that's a very different scenario than a couple of those earlier games in the season. I can't remember who the opponent was, but When you one game, I think they gave up a touchdown to start the game, and then they threw an
interception. I think San Francisco, right?
Yeah, I think that, and so you're trailing, then you throw an interception, and the whole thing starts to feel like it's going off the rails. And that's where that kind of seeps in, and I think sometimes it seeps into the play calling and everything else. But when you're winning by 10, I think it allows you don't ever want it to happen, but it at least allows you to take a step back, go, okay, it's not the end of the world, still have a 10-point lead. Or, you know, when they kick a field goal, it's still a 7-point lead. So no need to panic, no need to change the plan or anything like that. So, yeah, I think when those turnovers come in the third quarter with a 10-point lead, it's a very different scenario than the first quarter of a tie game or trailing. That's a very different in terms of the mindset, in terms of the play calling. I think it changes a lot. I think that's going to be the thing, Jordan. I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, but it's a lot of this is just going to be how Matthew Stafford plays in the playoffs. And I know Captain Obvious there, but is he going to rise to that level? Is he going to be able to level off some of these mistakes that he makes? Because you can't put yourself in a hole in those kind of games. So I'm fascinated to see how that plays out. There's a couple weeks left here, Jordan, just looking at this NFC, I mean, my goodness, we sit here, the Rams, as you said, 11-4, now atop the NFC West, still one game behind Green Bay for first place overall. And of course, this year with the changes, that means the only bye in the first round go to Green Bay. It's going to be hard for the Rams to get to that number one seed, even if they win the last two, unless Green Bay has a stumble there. So I don't know, Jordan. I mean, how do we look at these last couple games of the season? Is it the goal? I assume is just to win the division, and that way you assure yourself a home playoff game there, potentially two if you get to the number two seed. Do you start looking at matchups? Do you care who you play in the playoffs? Do you think about resting anybody, knowing the situation that the Rams might be in? To me, my feeling is you just try to win the last two and see where everything shakes out. I don't think this year, with everything that's going on, I don't think you can try to engineer anything or try to work yourself into a certain matchup or anything like that. I think you just try to win the games and hope you can stay healthy and see where the cards fall.
Yeah, I think kind of what we touched on earlier, the things that have worked for this group is simplifying certain areas when things are messy or chaotic, or when adverse things happen. So I think that's really what they need to do here is just simplify. Just, try to win games, try to stay healthy. And the rest of it will sort itself out, and just keep trying to win games and keep trying to stay healthy. And yeah, it'd be great, I think, for the Rams to especially with these two long trips that they've had, first Minnesota and then Baltimore coming up. You definitely want to maybe start the postseason on your home field. But again, if you try to win games and you stay healthy, that kind of takes care of itself at that point, or it should. So, when there's all sorts of this like tangled web of scenarios and situationals and all this stuff, I do think that it's helpful for this team to draw back on what really did get it through December, which is take everything one day at a time and just kind of try to stay in this headspace and this mindset that they've clearly been in. And you can kind of see it every time you talk to any of these guys, or if you go back and watch the pressers, like you can see it. They're kind of just like, well, can't control anything about this except for what I'm doing today. So here we go, kind of a thing. And I think that's value right about this time. That's a super valuable place to be in. In November, I don't think that in the long term, you obviously think it's a great addition to have Odell, to have Vaughn. You obviously still think it's a bad loss to have Robert Woods gone, to have Sebastian Joseph Day gone. But it also was a chaos that they're figuring out and thinking about, and there's all kinds of moving parts, there's all kinds of stuff happening, and all of this stuff, and when a very different but similar in that it's extremely chaotic situation happens in December, they turtled inward, like they kind of just like turtled up a little bit and they went inward and they took things very methodically. And I think that made such a big difference. And so I think approaching the postseason like that is going to be super important, super helpful. Again, it's really interesting how that sort of metaphorically shows up in the way that their run game is happening right now. Right. Someone should write about that.
Yeah, how about that?
but it's really interesting. And yeah, some exciting stuff down the stretch here, Rich. I really want to get to these New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
I saw some funny ones. I figured you were going to read some of them today. So I saw some funny ones. And so I was like, okay, well, we want to make sure we take a couple minutes at the end there to read those out. Because guys, like, you know, our little rants and our little, you know, musings aside, like, man, we love you guys. Like, we just really enjoy doing this. This has been a year. But next time we do this, it will be this podcast. It will be the new year. So this is our final 11 personnel of 2021. I have not recovered from 2020 yet. So it's insane that it's almost 2022. But man, what a year. Yeah. Man, this has been a crazy year. And what a fun year in many ways, a hard year in many ways, an exhausting year in many ways. But I think all of those things at once, you build quite a life. So we really appreciate that we get to share parts of it with you guys. Rich, I would love to insert a drum roll. I can't do it. I don't know how, but I'm gonna mentally insert a drum roll here as you get going on these Rams fans Twitter New Year's.
Yeah, of course. We had some funny ones. Some of them you can imagine the theme of them. A lot of them are involving running the ball more, but consistent QB play. I liked this one. Giving wide receivers coach Eric Yarber a raise, promotion, and extension.
Ooh, I like that one. Good for him. That's a good resolution. That's a good one.
Let Stafford know he can throw the ball away and doesn't need to force a completion. Ditch the blue pants. Also a very, very popular one.
I know that was your favorite one.
Yes. Everybody, run the ball, wear the correct uniform combination, be better on special teams. I think that's a good resolution. Don't pass six plays in a row. Okay, that's a fair one, too. A lot of beat the 49ers. I think that's going to be a very,
that would be helpful.
Very big resolution for the Rams to start the season. Run the damn ball. Yeah, run the damn ball came up a lot. So, a lot of Rams fans, you can keep it going on Twitter. I apologize for tagging Jordan. I shouldn't have done that. If you go on either one of our Twitter accounts, you can see the thread there. But yeah, I just want to certainly second what Jordan said. And hopefully everybody out there is staying happy and healthy over the holidays. It's good to have football. It's what it has always been. It's a good distraction for those of us who aren't in the world of it to be able to enjoy something and hope that all these players who are involved stay healthy and get back on the field. Want to have playoffs, want to have meaningful playoffs, want to have these teams at full strength. That's one thing that I think everybody wants. You don't want to have these rosters where guys are constantly going in and out and you don't know what's going to happen. That's not fun. Even if you're the opponent, you want to have a game with players at full strength. So Jordan, fascinated to see what happens. The Rams now have to go to Baltimore. Like you said, the Ravens have lost four games in a row. Three of them were really, really tight games. They haven't had Lamar Jackson. They're still hanging in there in the playoff race. That AFC wildcard race is really something. The Ravens are sitting there at 8-7. They're only a game out of first place in the AFC North. And then they're really in this logjam of teams that are either 9-6 or 8-7, or even Miami sitting there at 7-7, the Steelers at 7-7. So a lot to play for if you're the Baltimore Ravens. Probably pretty much a must-win game Sunday against the Rams. And the Rams, of course, want to keep it going. They have this momentum from December. They're where they want to be, largely on both sides of the ball. They have the division title right in front of them if they can win these last two games. So, Jordan, I know you will be all over it as usual. You can follow along, of course, at The Athletic on our app, on our website. Great coverage from Jordan. Again, go read her column, The Pile, that was posted last night. You can read it now and give you a great recap of what happened in that game. And, of course, follow along every day on Twitter at Jordan Rodrigue. Of course, there'll be injury updates later on today throughout the week. Of course, if you're not already a subscriber to The Athletic, first of all, you're missing out because Jordan has been producing amazing stuff all season. So if you haven't jumped on board yet, please do so right now. And you can go to theathletic.com/11personnel. Sign up today and you get Jordan's favorite thing in the entire world, which is what?
A great discount. You guys, you get a great discount, my favorite thing in the world, and still is as we exit 2021. If you subscribe to The Athletic through the 11 Personnel podcast, you receive my favorite thing in the world, which is a great discount. Want to say that we are having kind of an amazing year in terms of the subscriptions rolling in, particularly, you know, in this market, and if, you know, fans are just so engaged and awesome. Really, really want to thank you guys for that because, again, you know, I see that stuff and that just, that doesn't happen without you guys being who you are and just wanting to learn more about your team and wanting to interact and engage and have what I think is the best comment section on the internet. It's been pretty incredible to watch. It's just been really fun to grow with you guys, and it's been awesome. So really, really grateful for that. Make sure you go check out all of our fantastic work over theathletic.com, which you, of course, get with access to your subscription. I think we have a deal running already, but if you miss it, you can always get a great discount by subscribing to The Athletic through the 11 Personnel podcast. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at Jordan Rodrigue. Follow Rich Hammond at Rich_Hammond. Do not respond to any of his tweets in which he asks somehow to get someone to tell me about fantasy, to tell me to answer a fantasy football question. You can go ahead and ignore those or mute those tweets. But other than that, we sure appreciate it, guys. And we will catch you in 2022.
Hey, hey. Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.